When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He is Tim Bontemps, ESPN senior NBA writer. Follow him on Twitter at Tim Bontemps. Tim, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. How you guys doing?
Doing really good, man. Let's talk about your new piece today with your MVP straw poll that ESPN has done now for a number of years. Kind of give everybody the lay of the land of how you put it together, who's the one actually doing the voting, how many times a year it happens, and so forth.
Yeah, I'm the one who's been doing it, so I've been at ESPN for a few years. So
No. I mean the people within the organization who gets the votes and stuff.
No, I know. You just said ESPN's been doing it. I was just making it clear.
Oh, you. Right,
doing
right.
It while working there. That's all. Just so people know. So I've been doing this for several years now and try to mimic the actual voting pool for the MVP vote at the end of the year to get a sense of where the race is at. So I do it typically three times a year, once about a third of the way in, once about halfway through, and once a couple weeks before the end of the season. Ask a couple people from every market, ask national people, ask international people. And, I don't claim to get every single person who votes at the end of the year. But it's just supposed to be a representative sample of where the race sits right now. And it's become a sort of, I think, a fun way to look at where this race is at and how it's playing out. Because, you know, typically throughout the year, a lot of people will like to say, oh, this person has to be the MVP or this person or this person. And it's just a chance to actually say, well, here's about where the race actually is, instead of, you know, sort of just declaring certain people should win and then, you know, not really knowing where it's going to be until we get the final results in April.
Talking with Tim Bontemps, ESPN senior NBA writer. Follow him on Twitter at Tim Bontemps as he joins us on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's here on The Fan. Interesting note in this piece when I was reading it this morning was the fact that, you know, fans may or may not really care that much about the NBA Cup one way or the other. It was clear from the Bucks reaction afterwards and what Giannis and those guys had to say that they definitely cared about trying to win this thing. But it appears that the voters put a lot of stock into this as well, what happened in that game between the Bucks and OKC.
Yeah, 29 of the 100 people who voted changed their votes at least somewhat after that game. And look, I think a lot of that is because we had two of the top three guys, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander playing in the game. Shai had one of his worst games of the season. Giannis played great, obviously had a 26-point, 19-rebound, 10-assist triple-double, and the Bucks won the game. And so he had the momentum shift in his favor. I personally, you know, I ask people, so I don't vote in the poll or I didn't vote in the poll. I would not have changed my vote off of one game. It's not to diminish how that game went at all. It's just, it's a 27 game sample at this point, right? So I wouldn't weight any one particular game that heavily, but you know, that game showed just how dominant Giannis is. And look, I think the big takeaway for me for the way this thing played out is that this is going to be an incredibly contentious and close three-way race between those two guys and Nikola Jokic, because all three of them have very strong cases to win the award. They all have demerits to their argument in different ways, and there's not an obvious, I think they're all correct choices, and there's not an obvious first choice. And like we saw a couple of years ago when Jokic, Giannis, and Joel Embiid were all basically neck and neck for two entire seasons, I suspect this is going to be a similar one that goes all the way down to the end of the season in April.
After Giannis had won his couple of MVPs, the talk around here was, well, voter fatigue. He's probably not going to win it now for a while. But that has not been the case for the Joker necessarily. It doesn't appear there's voter fatigue for him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, look, the guy is averaging 33, 13, and 9.8 assists a game, right? Or I guess 31, I think, after last night. Like, he's seen as, I think, the best player. He's having an incredible season. He won MVP last year, so he's won three, and Giannis has won two. But, I mean, Giannis, I think, has finished in the top four in MVP voting each of the last 7 or 8 years. I think, like I said, I do this because in part because I think it's interesting. Obviously, it also gets reaction from people.
For sure.
It's a very interesting piece to do. But I also think that people get a little too focused on where the actual guys are at right now, where I would say to me, like I said, the bigger takeaway to me is that one of those three guys, Jokic, Giannis, or Shea, is going to be the MVP, barring something crazy happening over the next 4 months. And I think that, you know, really what this said to me is that those three guys have separated themselves from the field rather than it's definitively said that, you know, Jokic is going to win or that, you know, the top three guys are in any order that I think is static for now until the end of the regular season.
How much do you think teams' win-loss records matter in this whole thing? I mean, Denver right now is 14-11. They're technically a six. Now, I know it's only December. We're not even to Christmas yet. That's next week. And then the Bucks, obviously 14-11 as well. And then Oklahoma City with that great record at 21-5. Does the Joker really win another MVP if his team doesn't have home court advantage?
Well, look, I think that's going to be the challenge, right? I think if you ask people to rank those players in terms of talent, they're probably going to say it's Jokic, Giannis, and then Shea, right? I mean, you can make an argument for Giannis over Jokic,
sure.
But I think in general, that's probably what the consensus would be. However, if Shea's team wins 60 games and the Bucks and Nuggets are in the middle of the pack in their respective conferences, and especially if they have similar records and the West is seen as much stronger than the East between Jokic and Giannis, then yeah, I think that's going to have some impact on the voting. And there's only been a couple of times in the history of the league that the MVP has finished outside the top two or three in the conference. So historically, it's had a very big impact. In recent years, it's had less of an impact, but still has a big impact. And yeah, I think that is going to be something that is a part of the story all year long. If the Bucks or the Nuggets wind up in the play-in tournament, I think it's going to be very difficult for one of those two guys to win. Whereas if they both manage to get one or both manages to get up into the top four in their conference, particularly Denver, given the West is much deeper, I think that's going to be a very big feather in their cap and something that could tip the race in their direction down the road.
Talking Tim Bontemps, ESPN senior NBA writer. Follow him on Twitter at Tim Bontemps, talking about this great MVP piece that he does every year. He does it throughout the NBA season. Go check it out today. I've quote tweeted it earlier several times, so go.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We'll give it a look-see. The one thing that stood out to me was the fact that Giannis apparently wasn't on two people's ballots when they came back. Do you ever kind of look at that and shake your head sometimes when you see some of that voting come back?
No, I mean, look, everybody's got their own opinion, and it just depends on how you look at it. And again, like, I think the whole point of this is sort of just to, you know, get a wide cross-section of opinions and see where things sit. And look, I certainly would have Giannis on my ballot. I would say everybody should have Giannis on their ballot. But that's why you ask a wide section of people who have different opinions. And I think it's why the poll has proven to end up being pretty accurate in the end, because you do get a wide cross section of opinions that don't necessarily agree. But yeah, I mean, look, if you're asking me, Should Giannis be on every ballot? Yeah, I think it's safe to say that those three guys, and frankly, I think Jason Tatum probably should have been too. Like, yep. I thought the top, I can't really pick between the first three guys. I think you can legitimately put them in any order and it's fine. I think Jason Tatum was pretty clearly the fourth option for me. And then I think the fifth spot could go a whole bunch of different ways. And that's why you saw 14 or 15 guys get at least one vote, because that fifth spot, whether you go with Kevin Durant or Donovan Mitchell or Jalen Brunson or Karl Anthony Towns or, you know, whoever else, like you could easily make a case for several other guys to be on there. But it's really a three horse race with Tatum soaring by himself and then, you know, a bunch of guys fighting for fifth.
We talk about Giannis for so long, the knock on him nationally and from players, I guess, is, well, he doesn't have a jumper. He relies totally on getting to the rim. That's why they have the wall for him. The other night when they were playing, Richard Jefferson said, see, this is a Giannis defense, and he's still, you know, going through it for Oklahoma City. But him adding that mid-range jumper, I think, has really helped to evolve his game a little bit. Doc has him shooting way less threes than he was shooting under Bud, which I think is a godsend. So now where are the holes that people poke at with Giannis?
Well, I don't think it's about him adding a mid-range jumper. I think it's what you said after that. It's him not shooting threes anymore and just focusing on what he's awesome at, right? Like, for a long time, he was really adamant about trying to show he was shooting, which I understood. I mean, he's an incredibly proud guy, and he's, you know, an all-time great player and first ballot Hall of Famer. But by going away from the three and really just focusing on getting to either that, you know, 10 to 15 foot jumper or getting all the way to the rim and just relentlessly attacking the basket, it has made him, I mean, he has just been absolutely unstoppable. And for the flaws that the Bucks have on their roster, you know, the lack of athleticism on the perimeter, some of the lack of depth they have in different areas, the fact that they are in the position they are in and they won the NBA Cup and they've turned their season around after that god-awful 2-for-8 start, it's almost solely because of Giannis is just sheer relentless will and drive to drag this team along over the past month. And frankly, it's been the same thing in Denver with Nikola Jokic. The Nuggets have a mess of a team on a variety of fronts. And those two guys have shown why they're all-time great Inner Circle Hall of Fame players, right? Because you could see a lot of teams in the situations they were in early in the year go, oh man, like this just isn't happening. We're not going to be the team we expected to be. And those guys both, to their credit, said, nah, we're not going to let that happen. And that's why the Bucks just won the Cup. That's why they've turned their season around. And Giannis has been fantastic to watch. And it's been a real treat to see him, you know, really just hone in on the things he's awesome at and just relentlessly, you know, beat teams into submission night after night. It's been super fun to watch, and he's been incredibly impressive over the past several weeks.
Bucks at the Cavaliers tonight. Cavaliers, obviously the one seed in the East at 23-4. Are you buying the Cavaliers long-term?
It's an interesting question. I am interested to see what the Cavaliers look like in the spring. I don't think I can buy them yet as a team that's making a deep playoff run until I see them beat the Bucks in a playoff series, until I see them beat the Knicks in a playoff series, until I see them beat some of these other legit teams in a playoff series, right? Last year, they play a beat-up Orlando Magic team I shouldn't say a beat-up Orlando Magic team, but an Orlando Magic team making its first playoff run and, you know, couldn't really score, and they barely beat them in the first round. And then, you know, obviously it was a fairly non-competitive five-game series against Boston, especially once Donovan Mitchell got hurt. Year before that, to play the Knicks, they lose in pretty pretty disappointing fashion in five games in the first round there. Like, look, if the Bucks are healthy and they're playing the Cavs, I'm picking Giannis to win the series. So I need to see the Cavs win series like that before I'm going to take them seriously as a, you know, team that I'm going to pick to get to the Eastern Conference Finals or beyond. And look, that if you're a Bucks fan or if you're just watching the league, you know, other than the Celtics, who I think are quite clearly the best team in the East and probably the best team in the league, if I'm Milwaukee, if I'm healthy, I think I'm beating any of these teams in a series. Otherwise,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And like, but I also think the other teams take that. Like, that to me is what's interesting. Like, you know, if the Knicks and Bucks play, I think the Knicks will think they can win. If the Bucks will certainly think they got the best player in that series. The Bucks will think they can beat the Cavs. The Cavs feel confident. If Philadelphia could ever get its players on the court and make it into the playoffs, like, you don't really want to see those three guys in a playoff series if they're healthy. Now, again, they also might win 25 games, so who knows how the rest of their season is going to go. But the East is so forgiving that if they just get right for a couple months and get into the playoffs, they're going to be tricky to play. So, you know, that I think is what's got a chance to make the Eastern Conference playoffs so interesting. But certainly if you're a Bucks fan, and I know if you're Giannis Antetokounmpo, you're going to go into the playoffs thinking, yeah, I'm playing, I'm healthy, I can beat anybody in the league. And it certainly would not shock me whatsoever if we get to mid-May and the Celtics and Bucks are playing each other in the conference finals after Giannis has two incredible series and they knock up a couple teams and get there.
Yep, and it will be awesome if that does happen. Tim Bontemps, ESPN senior NBA writer. Check out all his great work at ESPN. I love reading him. His MVP straw poll that he does throughout the season is amazing, too. Check that out at ESPN.com. Follow him on Twitter at Tim Bontemps. Tim, thanks for coming on, man. Hopefully we can do this again throughout the season.
Anytime, man. Thanks for having me. Have a great holiday.